So it is summer, is it not? British summer is always interesting. And so for this morning's reading, I thought it most appropriate to focus on the reading from Matthew. It is a story well familiar to us all, I'm sure, about the sower and the sowing and the reaping. But I want to kind of draw your attention to a few things first. Matthew wrote his gospel to explain the life and the work of Jesus to a mainly Jewish audience. And he was there to explain that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. And this passage, the section of the Bible that we're going to read from, is really kind of a turning point in his gospel. So let's sort of set the scene for you. What's happened, what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, actually, is Jesus has commissioned his 12 disciples, now called apostles, to go out. He gave them authority over every demon and unclean spirit, and he gave them the authority to heal. And so after finishing these instructions, Jesus goes on to continue to teach and to preach in Galilee. But he is facing opposition from the religious leaders. Now, the day that this reading takes place, earlier this day, this is sort of a typical day in the life of Jesus, he has healed a demon-possessed man and was accused by the Pharisees of doing it by the power of the prince of demons. Wrong. The Pharisees and the religious teachers of the law are wanting Jesus to show him a miraculous sign, as if bringing out demons isn't one, but, you know, we'll leave that aside. Jesus' family now wants to speak to him. I think in other readings they say because they think he's losing his mind, okay? And Jesus says, no, 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 my family is here. My family are those that listen to God the Father and do his will. And then he goes and addresses the crowd and teaches them in parables, all in one day. But I'm going to refer back to what's happened earlier in Jesus' day in a few minutes' time. The thing with parables is we often misunderstand what parables are all about. The word parable comes from the Greek, which means to throw alongside. And I've heard it explained as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Have you heard that? Well, it's a common phrase in America at any rate. But that's really belittling what a parable is all about. It is actually designed to provoke a reaction in the listeners. Parables are a bit absurd. There was a show in America with a character whose catchphrase was, "Don't be ridiculous." And when you hear a parable, that's supposed to be your reaction. Don't be ridiculous. That is absolutely crazy. It turns the world we know upside down and on its head. But there is a truth in that parable, a deep truth in that parable. So when you listen to that truth and you put that alongside what we expect to happen, we begin to get a glimpse of the kingdom of God and what he has in store for us. So this is the parable of the sower. Now, I've got an image here that might sort of, this when you hear the parable of the sower who goes to sow the seed, this might be what you expect, yeah, something along those lines. In order to really understand the parable, you need to understand the reality of farming in first century Palestine. And I have some images of farming in 2013 in November. And this is it. This is Fadel, and he is going to plow the fields in the village of Umm al-Ahmad. and his father, Muhammad, that's watching him plow. They need to have people as foreigners there just watching so that they don't get shelled by the settlements that are just very nearby. This was taken in November, and these are the techniques they are still using. This is Muhammad, his father, plowing the field and scattering his barley. He's a shepherd, and he needs to grow this for his sheep. This is a food they will eat. You need to have these images in mind as you listen to the story. In Jesus' day, they would expect a yield maybe of 3-4 would be phenomenal. And even today, we only get yields perhaps as much as 15 with all of our technology and all of what is known about the science of plants and growing. We tend to focus only on the last bit of the parable of the sower, but today we are going to listen to the entire passage. Normally they cut out the middle bit, but today we're going to listen to it all. And so John is going to bring to us our reading for this morning.
This reading is headed, The Parable of the Sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A father went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Without seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only about a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who has received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, John. Now, many of you know that my husband and I have an allotment, and I had a vision and a dream this year for the allotment, and I'll show you my vision. We've had a section that has been fallow for 3 years. I've plowed it up, I've removed all the weeds, and I planted 6,000 poppy seeds. This is the 100th anniversary, and I wanted to say to everyone who walks by our allotment, remember. Remember and count your blessings for the freedom you have. And I am, at this point in the glorious summer, the proud owner of this. Weeds. There is not a single poppy growing. Not one. I am so disappointed. And everyone has tried to comfort me, saying, well, next year you'll have them. I don't want them next year. I want them now. I feel like a little kid. I want my poppies now. And so I know that no matter what you do to try and grow things well, it doesn't always work out. And in this parable, it's about 3/4 of the seed doesn't grow well. Nothing happens. It's wasted. And yet what does happen with what is sown is amazing. It's not what we expect. And you saw those pictures of Muhammad and his son Fadl as they are plowing their field in Palestine. You see, you wouldn't waste seed. It's too precious. It's too hard to make it grow. And yet, this is a story about sowing generously, knowing that it probably isn't going to grow, but you sow it anyway. Now, most sermons I know focus on the last bit, on the meaning of the parable, about you all need to be good soil. Anyone heard a sermon like that? And what you can do to improve yourself? Let me tell you one thing, as a gardener, soil does not improve itself, does it? If you want to improve your soil, you need to add some muck. So if your life is full of muck at the moment, rejoice. That just might be the thing that is going to really nourish your faith. Now, I'm not saying God is sending all this stuff your way. You know, a funny thing is, if I actually used that word, beginning with S and having 4 letters, you would all have more offense at that than at the offense of the evil around us. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Language. But anyway, if you've got these things of difficulty and challenge in your life, sometimes that's the very thing that God can use to grow your faith. Now, I want to just spend a moment on that middle bit of, you know, those who have ears here and those who don't. It's a bit tricky. And I could spend a whole sermon on that, but I'm not going to. What I'm going to say right now is realize this parable is said in the midst of challenge and opposition. That even though Jesus is removing demons and curing people in the sight of the religious leaders, they are opposing him. And I think this bit, as well as the explanation, probably happened later. Because Jesus tells, he's in a boat, and he tells a whole bunch of parables. He's not going to get out of the boat, talk to his disciples, get back in the boat, and then go out and tell some more parables. I think this is time-wise, this is all a bit later. But it's also to say to the disciples, to be encouraged, you have ears, you are hearing, you know the truth. It doesn't look like you think it might look like. It doesn't always make a lot of sense. It may not be what you are expecting, but it is God's truth. And you are blessed. Now, the first part of the parable, the first part of our reading, the parable itself, is all about the sower. The generosity of the sower. The sower who is flinging with great abandon and exuberance these seeds out into the world. And most of them are probably never going to flourish. But my word, what is planted and lands on fertile soil? The yield is unbelievable. It is beyond imagining. And I think this is to say, God's kingdom is like a seed. It's small. It starts out insignificantly. You may not even notice it amongst you, but it is there, and it is growing. We are called to look, to listen to God's word, and we're called to bear a harvest, because the harvest that comes, my word, is amazing. The smallest seed planted yields enough for thousands. And this, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is to encourage us. Because we're out in the world day by day, whether you're at work or whether you're in a community or whether you're just going shopping, whatever it is that you're doing, you are being planted into the world. And God is there working. And oh my word, the difference that you and I make to the people we meet. The things you do and say and who you are may seem small and insignificant, but the difference is astounding. We believe in a God who is loving and compassionate, a God whose heart is for the whole world. And you have been placed where you are, doing what it is that you do, so that you may be God's love in action. Do not be afraid of the challenges that surround you. Things may not always go according to your plan, to your wants and your wishes. But we have a God who sows his love and his grace abundantly. And he is there with you, by your side, on your side, deep inside, so that you can make a tremendous difference in the lives of the people you already know. Shower them with abundant love, even if it falls on stony ground. Be like the sower, abundant, generous, open-hearted, knowing that much may actually fall away, but there will be those times, those instances that will make such a deep and lasting impact. And to rejoice and to live confidently, knowing that that pleases God. Life as a Christian may not be quite what we were expecting. It's so much better. And may you find this to be true in your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.